I call the order of the hearing in docket number 2842. It is approximately 2:30 p.m. Central Time on Wednesday, January 10th, 2024. I am Dan Pascal, Chief Deputy Commissioner of Insurance. This hearing concerns proposed rule addressing the implementation of House Bill 3359 concerning network adequacy and several other bills applicable to preferred and exclusive provider benefit health plans. Those bills include House Bills 711, 1647, 1696, and 2002, and Senate Bills 1003 and 2476, all from the 8th legislative session, as well as Senate Bill 1264 from the 86th session. I will speak as loud as I can with the help of the mic. If you can't hear, please just let me know. Notice that today's hearing was posted on TDI's website and published in the Texas Register on December 8th, 2024. Correct notice was published in the Register on January 5th, 2024. Any member of the public wishing to offer spoken comments should fill out a witness card and submit it to staff at the table. I'll call on you and then ask you to identify yourself for the record. I'll begin by calling on Rachel Bowden, Director of Regulatory Initiatives in the Life and Health Division, to explain the proposal.
Good afternoon, Chief Deputy Commissioner Haskell. My name is Rachel Bowden. I'm Director of the Regulatory Initiatives Office in the Life and Health Division of the Texas Department of Insurance. Staff is before you today to propose the adoption of amendments, repeal, and additions to multiple sections in 28 Chapter 3, subchapters S and S, relating to preferred and exclusive provider benefit plans, or PPO and EPO plans. The proposal implements several pieces of legislation passed in the 88th legislature, including House Bill 3359, which requires TDI to adopt extensive new network adequacy standards. I'd like to spend a few minutes summarizing some of the key changes in the proposed rules. The proposed rules establish new network adequacy standards and network filing and reporting requirements, implement House Bill 3359, including requiring insurers to file and serve and use TDI template forms. We are also updating forms and procedures for insurers to request network waivers, including requiring insurers to submit detailed information demonstrating their good faith effort to contact with providers and disclosing the best rate offers for set Medicare rates and average contracted rates. The proposal also updates the examination process for PPO and EPO plans to reflect new network adequacy standards and filing requirements. The rules expand the definition of facility-based physician to include non-physician providers, and expand the types of facility-based physicians and providers that must be listed in provider directories, consistent with Senate Bill 1003 from the 88th legislature. The rules also require that a contract between an insurer and a preferred provider comply with statutory prohibitions on anti-competitive provisions and requirements for protections for optometrists and therapeutic optometrists, as added by House Bill 711 and House Bill 1696, respectively, both from the 88th legislature. We will require insurers to credit certain direct payments to non-deferred providers towards the insurance in-network cost-sharing maximums, consistent with House Bill 2002 from the 88th legislature. The proposal requires coverage of certain clinician-administered drugs at the in-network benefit level, consistent with House Bill 1647 from the 88th legislature. It also modifies out-of-network payment standards and clarifies balance billing protections, consistent with Senate Bill 1264 from the 86th legislature and Senate Bill 2476 from the 88th legislature and court order. The rule will provide consumer protections for network gaps and clarify TDI's expectations for access plans. We will also expand the exceptions related to guaranteed renewability to permit coverage under PPO and EPO plans to be discontinued if the insurer no longer resides in the service area of the plan. This is consistent with the existing rules for HMO plans. The proposed rules affirm the prohibition on referral and primary care provider selection requirements in PPO and EPO plans. The rules also prohibit penalties on insurers for failure to refund a pre-authorization. Lastly, the rules streamline disclosure requirements for policy terms and conditions. House Bill 3359 applies to policies delivered, issued for delivery, or renewed on or after September 1, 2024, and requires TDI to hold a public hearing before approving an insurer's request for a waiver of one or more network adequacy standards. The proposed rules will apply to annual network adequacy reports due by April 1, 2024, and any network configuration plans made after that date. a network that will not be used with any plan issued or renewed on or after September 1, 2024, will continue to be subject to the rules in effect at the time the plan was issued or renewed. TDI may adjust the April deadline of 2024 as necessary, depending on the timing of the rule adoption. This proposal does not address the procedures the TDI will follow in conducting hearings in connection with requests for waivers. However, TDI plans to share information and solicit public input on waiver hearing procedures within the next month or two. This proposed rule was published in the Texas Register on December 8, 2023. TDI provided a period of 30 days to receive comments on the proposed adoption of these rules and has decided to extend the comment period. TDI will take the received comments as well as the testimony today into consideration as the adoption order for this rule is prepared. Chief Deputy Castle, the written comment period will expire at 5 p.m. Monday, January 22, 2024. The department will accept written and oral comments presented at this hearing, as stated in the written proposal. Contingent on any comments we receive, staff respectfully requests that you adopt the proposed amendments to 28 PAC sections 3.3038, 3.3702 through 3.3705, 3.3707 through 3.3711, 3.3720, 3.3722, and 3.3723, and also adopt new sections 3.3712 and 3.3713, and the repeal of section 3.3725. This concludes my presentation. Thank you for your consideration of this proposal, and I'm happy to answer any questions you may have.
Thank you, Rachel. I would like to reiterate something Rachel said. We were able to extend the comment period through Monday, January 22nd at 5 p.m. Central Time. So hopefully y'all got that notice. If not, now you know we were able to accept comments on that day. The first witness we have today is Mr. Kevin Stewart. And if all speakers could please introduce themselves and their way for me to the
Hey y'all. Thanks for having me again. My name is Kevin Stewart. I'm with the Texas Association of Health Plans. Generally, we support these rules, and we do have some recommendations. And, we're very happy that TDI is publishing some of the desk rules and actually putting them into the administrative code. We also appreciate streamlining the rules. So there are multiple areas of the proposal that would just kind of streamline the rules, make them more clear. We think that's great. We do, we're submitting some written comments as well to sort of make sure that the rules are mirroring the federal requirements. And that was kind of what we had in mind with this bill. And so we'll be submitting written recommendations. I did want to touch on three issues today. The first is the timing issue. So, you know, obviously, now we're pushing the date back farther. You know, we're butting up against the April filing deadline. It's going to be a very tight turnaround for plans to not only reach out to all the providers, but then sort of engage in good faith negotiations. We just think from sort of a public policy perspective that granting more time, you know, obviously they're going to have to make offers now that's newly collected information. So we think granting more time would just allow for more good faith negotiation, which was sort of the intent of the bill. Also, just kind of looking at the statute, the effective date is 10-1. We're not really sure why that was the effective date for the distance wait times. Obviously, the filing deadline is April 1. So we don't think it really aligns with the statute to impose those requirements on the 401 date. Obviously, those filings are sort of a snapshot of what the network looks like at that time. So if you're requiring all these standards, you're requiring the federal standards under N 3359 on 401, that's essentially just applying the effective date. We're sort of recommending, we think the bill can actually be read to apply to the April 25 filings, right? The way the effective date is written is that it applies to filings submitted on or after 10-1. So the next one would be April 25. What we're recommending is sort of the middle ground where, you know, if a plan's ready to basically show that they're compliant with the requirements in April. Great, submit your filings, get those out of the way. But if not, we think they should have at least up until the HMO filing deadline in August to be able to basically prove compliance. If you go with that August date, you'll still have sort of a 2-month runway, you know, for the actual effective date of the bill to work out all the hearings and all the other things that are sort of going to have to happen there. The other thing we had some concerns about is related to the clinician-administered drugs. So this was HB 2002, I believe. One part of the rule language, it keeps talking about providers. We just encourage all to go back to the bill and look. The way it's actually drafted is pharmacies. So, for example, the rule language says, you know, essentially you can't penalize an insured based on choosing a non-network provider. We think that should be pharmacies. I know under most circumstances, pharmacies are going to be the dispensers, but there are certain carve-outs to the law that allow other providers to dispense. So there's like a rural dispensing statute for physicians. And actually, there are multiple bills filed every session to try to expand that dispensing law. So I think limiting it to pharmacies to align with the bill would really make it more clear. Also, the way the ruling is drafted now, it doesn't seem to include a provision that was sort of carefully negotiated throughout the legislative session about it not applying to hospitals and hospital infusion centers. It's actually an exception that's in a different section than sort of the main criteria that you'll cite in the rule. So we are going to ask that you'll expressly kind of include that provision or, you know, say something like criteria of the subchapter instead of a specific section. And then last but not least, you know, we're really happy with the steering and tiering language, the sort of HB 711 language. You know, we think it does reflect the legislature's goal of sort of allowing steering and tiering enforcements for the benefit of the enrollee or policyholder. We do want to sort of encourage the agency to take a look at any other barriers that might exist to steering and tiering, maybe be more descriptive on them as if there are other issues that would sort of prevent steering and tiering. And that's about it. Any questions? We have a handful of other things that we can comments, but
that's not it. Would anyone else like to comment today? Please let the record reflect that all those desiring to comment have now done so. Again, TDI is extending the comment period for this rule proposal and will accept all written comments received before Monday, January 22nd at 5 p.m. Central Time. TDI will consider all validly submitted written comments and the testimony given today before preparing an adoption order for this ruling. Thank you all for participating in this hearing. Docket number 2842 has adjourned. Thank you.